You're in for a real treat as we go through Lent together. And one of the things that always amazes me is that you can grow up going to a church where you say the Apostles' Creed all your life and never actually think about why it is we say those things. And for those of you who may be newer to church at all, coming back into a space where we explore the fundamental things that we believe as a people of God and why those things are important, but even more so, how we take them from here and live them out in such a way. Well, grace and peace to you. It's good to be in worship this morning. You are in for a special worship experience this morning. Not only are you going to hear from me, but you're going to hear from five unique individuals from this congregation, five people who have been touched by God in more ways than one, but also people who touch many different pieces of the life of this community. One is an online worshiper. One is a youth in our youth group. One is involved in our possibilities ministry. And some are folks who have been coming to this church for quite some time. And so you're going to get to hear from them in ways that they have felt God using their gifts and inspiring them to use their story to touch other people's lives as well. You'll notice that your notes are a bit different this morning, and that is not on accident, but it's for you to reflect on what you want to take away from this sermon series. How have you thought about the ways you are wired, the ways you have been gifted to be a game changer in the kingdom of God? And how are you planning to use those gifts and invite others to do that? So I encourage you, as you hear the different stories throughout worship today, to jot down some things that strike you. Maybe there's a point in somebody's story that touches a nerve in your own life. Maybe there's something that you've been trying to figure out how to articulate it, and maybe the best way to do it is to write down that thought and take it with you. Our first story comes from somebody who is very active in our online community. She used to be here physically and would often lead worship and is a singer, but now she is spearheading one of our new online Bible study opportunities, and she has an amazing story to tell. A few things you should know is that she calls us to think, what would it look like if the way we used our gifts was the most authentic it could ever be? And maybe we're always striving for that, but what would it look like when God is using each of our unique gifts to help the kingdom flourish? And the other question is this: how can we hear other stories, recognizing that even though we each have a unique story to tell, that ultimately our story is not bound to any other person's story, but God's story? And that's a story that's continuing to be written with you certainly in mind.
My talents are generally pretty obvious to others, usually more obvious to them than they are to me. Many of you know that I sing, so I think that music is probably one of my most used talents. I enjoy singing, and I love music in general, and I think that when it comes to worship, that is where my greatest joy in worship is. I find God more frequently in music than I do in most other places. I also think that I have a talent for finding obscure pieces of information, and it sounds strange, but that talent has led to so many other things. I think that it has led to my finding of a way to do Bible study that really appeals to me, and it has really grown my ability to teach others, and I think that has been an amazing opportunity that I did not expect. I think that the one thing that brings me the greatest amount of joy is watching a room full of people in authentic worship. I think that it doesn't happen very frequently, but when it does, it is the most amazing, exhilarating thing. And my heart breaks when that doesn't happen, because I wonder, what is it that is preventing us from having that authentic relationship with God, that it's what is it that's stopping us from having that authentic worship? I think that if you looked up the definition for introvert in the dictionary, that you would probably find my picture there. But on the other hand, I think that God has used my introversion in a lot of really special ways. I treasure my small group that I meet with on a weekly basis. I meet with a small group of women where we just get together and we study the word together and pray for each other. And I think that even though it's a small group, that those moments where we are in the word together have meant so much to me. And it's through them that I've learned how to hone my teaching skills and my learning skills, particularly when it comes to the word. I think that it's sort of amazing how God tends to broaden our scope. And I think that in my own story, I don't feel like my story has an ending yet. I feel like in a lot of ways, my story is just in its beginning. As I approach middle age, I think that there's so much left to be done, so much work to be done to further God's kingdom. And God does amazing things. And I think that if you don't know what your gifts and talents are yet, I think all you have to do is say yes the next time someone says, "Will you consider?" And I think that you'd be surprised what happens after that. You may end up leading a Bible study. You may end up leading a small group of scouts. You might end up, you know, cooking meals for your kids' small group. You never know. So I would encourage you to never say no to any of those opportunities. Thanks.
Sarah is an amazing testimony to what God can do. Even though when you're not physically in a community, that you can still feel very much a part of a community that's formed you and that's shaped you in such a way that you continue to act on those gifts. Something Sarah said struck me, and I hope it struck you too, and that's, in many ways, our story is yet to be finished. And we're always a working in progress when it comes to how God is forming us. And so two stories that we're going to start with today come from two very unique folks in the life of this church who have a story about God who's constantly come back into their lives in times where perhaps they were tempted to stray from God. And so with me today are Nathan Green, and Nathan is involved in our youth program, and Amber Ostrup, who is involved in a variety of different things in the life of this church and community, including serving in our community. So we're going to hear from them and hear some ways that their own stories have been shaped along the way. So Nathan, tell us a little bit about you and sort of what your journey with Christ Church has been.
Well, as many of you may know, my journey with Christ Church kind of started from birth. Having my parents working here, my mom's worked here for 20 years now, and, you know, it's been an absolute honor to grow up with you guys and just really see Christ working through all of you guys. In my own story, I've been around music my whole life. You know, having my dad be the worship leader here, it's been, you know, always there, but it wasn't always, you know, what I wanted to do. It was constantly, you know, being there, but it took, you know, a really bad breakup and a really bad situation in my life that sent me into a downward spiral of depression and suicide attempts to kind of give me my final push into music, because I ended up turning to music as a last resort. you know, thinking I have nothing else. And I ended up finding something to live for through music. And it's just since then, it's been a great way to show God's love. And, you know, my band played at a summer mission trip this past summer, and we raised over $120 for Sweetwater, which is a foundation towards getting fresh water to third world countries. And, you know, just being able to do that has shown me that, you know, God can work through any of us, and no matter how far we stray, God's always there.
So what was that moment like for you when you realized this piece of you that had been a part of you your entire life with music, that you'd grown up with, it was kind of your other language? What was that moment like when you sort of realized that it could also be used to invite people to experience God's love?
So it was a thing for a while, and it was just, oh, I play music, and then I grew to love it, but it was just, you know, a hobby. And then it became, you know, I was asked to come up here on stage and play for one of the services, and that sort of took me and was like, hey, you can actually do something with your music. And so since then, I've kind of been, you know, writing music and for Christ, and seeing how I can use that music. You know, I since have started leading worship up in the youth room for the youth group, and I play down here for Little Sparks children's program, and I use all that to basically say, hey, God loves you, and this is how I use my gift.
Awesome. So Amber, tell us a little bit about what brought you to Christ Church and sort of what led up to the way that you are using your gifts for God.
Thank you, Ryan. So I've been coming to Christ Church now for, oh gosh, probably 20 years now. But my journey really starts back when I was a child. So like many of you, my parents got divorced when I was one, and there my mom was raising us in Ogden, Utah. I was two, my brother was four, and my other brother was five. And my dad left and went to California to find work. And so there my mom was at 21 years old, you know, doing whatever she could to try and make a better life for us kids, and I'm sure trying to find love and happiness. So while she was at work one day at age five, unfortunate things happen, and I actually was raped by a teenager while she was at work. So I sat there laying and watching my innocence, my purity, what I knew as love, going right out the window that I was staring at with the sun coming through with thin drapes. Something happened again at age 12, and that's when I went spiraling out of control. I wanted to end my life. I wanted to run away at age 12, and by the way, I did. I was really struggling. But inside, I really wanted to help others. I wanted to, I knew there was like a savior, God. But it wasn't until 15 when I came out here after some bad decisions, and that's another story for another day. I actually had open heart surgery, and I just posted this on Facebook, but I had a hole in my heart the size of a 50-cent piece. When you're born with a hole in your heart. Mine never closed, and I went into open heart surgery immediately. That was 15, at age 15. So 10 years later, at the same hospital, Georgetown University Hospital, I watched my mom, the person that really tried to make a better life for us kids, I watched her take her last breath. And she was 47 years old. We found out in March she had cancer, and she died in July. And when I sat there, I really realized I had to do more. I had to bring comfort and cheer to those people that were really suffering. And I started taking flowers up to the hospital, and I just couldn't keep up with changing the flowers out or the water, and then they would die, and that wasn't the purpose. So I wanted to give something that they could hold on to. If anyone has experienced death of a loved one, I actually still have the shirt that I was wearing when my mom died. So I wanted to do something that somebody could hold on to when their loved one passed. My mom's best friend and I made a blanket, and we gave it to the same unit where my mom passed, and we received a lovely letter from a lady that her husband had passed on, but then she was the recipient, and how much it meant to him, how much it meant to her, and that's really where I knew I had to do more for those that were hurting.
So in the midst of, and last week we talked about experiences, in the midst of so many uphill battles and so many low points in your life, what was sort of the turning point that sort of just struck a chord with you?
Well, like I said, I was always looking for God, a Savior, and so I would go to church with my friends at 8 by myself. I've been coming to church by myself. Many of you see me by myself. And so the turning point was really, I think, giving these blankets and really getting into it and really finding God and knowing that it's really God that's going to walk you through this challenging life. And bad things are going to happen. We're going to do bad things. People are going to do bad things to us, but that we can really come together and really fulfill and be God's hands and feet. And that's really what it's all about.
So both of you said something that reminds me of something Pastor John reminds us all the time, and that's that each of us is a minister for this community. And here are two examples of people who are ministering in ways that not all of us know about or see. You know, Nathan ministering to the youth and the kids through his gifts, Amber ministering well beyond these walls in a variety of ways in our greater Northern Virginia community. So lastly, I want to ask you each this question, and that's, what do you hope others will hear in your story today?
Well, I hope that others take away from my story that God finds you wherever you are. You know, you can never stray too far that he's not right there beside you to turn you back on the path and say, this is what I created you to do, and, you know, this is how you can lead my people. And, you know, it's just keep going.
So I have two things. One is forgiveness. Forgiving those that have hurt us, and God forgiving us for hurting others, and forgiving ourselves. The other is to say yes to God. For several times now, I have called God and said, yeah, I'm not going to do these blankets anymore. I don't have the resources, or I just want to do my own thing. Amber, no, you're going to keep doing the blankets, and I'm going to just bring the people and the right resources into your path. So you're going to keep going, so just get back into your lane and just stay there, and I will guide you. So just saying yes to God. You know, forgiveness and saying yes, because God will carry you through. He will make things happen. You just have to say yes.
Let's thank Amber and Nathan.
Thank you.
So this next story and individual we're going to hear from may be a stranger to some of you, but is familiar in a variety of ways to others. She's been an active member of this church for quite some time. Some of you may only know her based on her hats she wears, and she may have been wearing one today. But she has a unique story about her experience with the church and the ways that God used others in her life to help her come back to the church when she felt there was a time she needed to leave church. Many of us go through times where we feel that we're at a stale point, where our gifts aren't being used for any good whatsoever. And so I invite you to hear from our friend Sharon Emery.
Hi, I'm Sharon Emery. My spiritual gifts are administration and hospitality. And I have known this for a long time. I would like to share my story on how God's given talents to me was used by God to get me back into the church. When I was growing up, I went to a church that did not fulfill my spiritual needs. So when I got married for the first time, I left the church, and I did not come back for 27 years. And during that time, I even considered myself to be agnostic. But God gave me these talents. I have made innumerable things because he has given me talents such as wreath making, bow tying, decorating Christmas trees, decorating my house, making journals, doing scrapbooking. He gave me my creative talents, and I used them from my early childhood, all through my growing up years, all through my young adulthood, and into my middle age. I'm now old. So when my third husband was sick and he was falling down the stairs in our condominium, I needed to buy a house or find a house with a bedroom on the first floor. So I went to work and I asked my colleagues, where do you think I could find a house in the area with a bedroom on the first floor? Everybody at work knew that I was creative. My office had bags from Michael's and Joann's. We had craft shows, and I always was doing craft shows. I always had a project that I was working on at lunchtime. So everybody knew that I was crafty. So when I did buy a house in Cross Point, I went back to work and I said, oh, thank you for telling me, because I did find a house. And immediately, the person who had suggested Cross Point said to me, Sharon, when you move to Cross Point, you have got to come to Christ Church. And I said, no way. I said, I don't do church. And he kept on, and he kept on. And so after a while, I said, would you please tell me why you are bugging me? Because you're driving me crazy. I don't do church. And he said, Sharon, at Christ Church, they have fundraisers, which are galas with silent auctions. And the ladies in the church make all the items in the silent auction. And currently, they do them at my house. But if you came to Christ Church, they could do them at your house. So I thank God every day because he brought me back to himself and Jesus through the talents that he gave me. And it is awesome because when I walked in the door of Christ Church 23 years ago, I found Jesus and I found God. On the scale, there is a scale from being ultra introvert to ultra extrovert. I really find myself in the middle. I love being around people. I love having people over my house. I just finished last week having my 10th party between December and January. Over 125 people have been in my house in those 2 months. I love it. I love interfacing. I love doing it. I love cooking. I love decorating. But when those people leave, I also love going into my studio and staying there for hours on end, working by myself. And I get just as much fulfillment and energy and joy out of that. I think it's important to know what your spiritual gifts are for many reasons. But the problem that people have is they don't recognize what their talents are. And they're skittish about delving into how you do that. But all people have talents. Every person has a talent. I don't particularly have the talent of music, and don't ask any of my friends because they'll tell you, no, she does not have any talent like that, no. But there are so many people that do, but they also have other talents. And I think they're afraid. I don't know really why, but they're afraid to delve into what they're passionate about. And maybe they don't realize that they have passions, but they don't know that they are spiritual gifts that can be used for the body of Christ and for the kingdom. So it's important to know because it brings you so much joy when you use innate abilities and spiritual gifts to help others in whatever way that may be. Because when you give, you get so much back in return.
I think she hit the nail with the hammer. on that one. And I think one thing she reminds us of is that it's easy to think in our own little box that whatever gifts we might have or talents can't do anything on their own. But when you look at the whole picture, the whole tapestry of ways that we're gifted, it comes together and does a beautiful, incredible thing through God's handiwork. So we have the opportunity now to give back to God. We've been giving back through our stories, and I hope you've been thinking more on your own stories, but we have a chance to give back to God with our tithes and offerings. You can do it via text, you could do it in person, or if you're online, you can click Give Now and join us as we think about what it means to do something.
Woke up this morning, saw a world full of trouble now. Thought, how'd we ever get so far down? And how's it ever gonna turn around? So I turned my eyes to heaven. I thought, God, why don't you do something? Well, I just couldn't bear the thought of people living in poverty and children sold into slavery. The thought disgusted me, so I shook my fist at heaven. Say, God, why don't you do something? And he said he did. Yeah. I created you. If not us, then who? If not me and you right now. It's time for us to do something. It's time for us to do something. I'm so tired of talking about God's hands and feet. Live like angels of apathy. We tell ourselves, it's all right. Somebody else will do something. Well, I don't know about you, but I'm sick and tired. Life with no desire. I don't want a flame, I want a fire. I want to be the one who stands up and says, I'm going to do something. If not us, then who? If not. For us to do something. If not now, then when will we see an end to all these things? It's not enough to do nothing. It's time for us to do something. We are the salt of the earth. We are a city on a hill.
Shine, 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 shine.
But we'll never change the world by standing still. No, we won't stand still. No, we won't stand still. No, we won't. To do something. If not now, then when will we see an end to all this pain? Oh, it's not enough to do nothing. It's time for us to do something. Oh, it's time for us to do something.
Amen, amen. Well, I hope one or more of those signs caught your eye, and maybe one or two of them were something that struck your heart or struck a chord in your own life that encourages you, inspires you to do something if you haven't yet. So my next couple friends who are joining me are Colin and his dad, James, and I am going to ask them to share a little bit about what brought them to Christ Church and then talk about the ways they see God at work in their lives. So tell us how you arrived at Christ Church.
Well, good morning. My family arrived at Christ Church after we left another church we'd been attending for over 10 years. We are a military family, and we've traveled all around the world, but we keep coming back to this area. And so for 10 years plus, we attended this other church, and it kind of turned on us like bad milk. And after making attempts, we decided it was time to find another church home closer to where we currently live, which is Fairfax Station. I went online, I found Christ Church, I watched a sermon, shared it with my wife that I think this is the next church home for our family. We came and visited, and we've been hanging around ever since.
What were some of the things that, when you came in here for the first time, that just caught your eye about this church and its DNA?
Well, for me, and I'm glad you said DNA, I look around. Just take a second, look around. Every color, every hue, every nationality, all represented right here. I love the diversity. I love the fact that everyone is included. All you have to do is have a willingness to include yourself.
Amen. Colin, what do you love about Christ Church?
The singing.
The singing?
Yeah.
Did you like that last song?
Yeah.
Yeah. What else do you like?
God.
God. And what ways do you see, what are your gifts that you use at church? Other than smiling at everybody. Because that brings joy to my heart. So. Do you like praying?
Yes. Praying.
Yeah. Who do you pray for?
My dad.
Uh-huh.
His job.
Uh-huh.
His, my mom, cooking. Mm-hmm.
Not that it needs prayer. I just saved you.
What do you think your praying does for people?
This blinding flash of glory he's got right now.
Yeah.
Encourage.
Uh-huh.
Other people.
Right. Do you think you notice when folks aren't having a good day? You can cheer them up.
I can cheer them up.
Yeah. That's awesome. Yeah.
Colin is, for those of you who don't know him, a quadriplegic cerebral palsy. My wife, who is smarter than I, could tell you exactly what's going on. But he is unable to walk, unable to self-feed or self-toilet, so he relies on others for his total care. He is what, as I was growing up, many would have called worthless, but I recognize is full of so much that I don't have. He is a unjudgmental individual. We live in a time of much judgment and hate and anger. If you ever want to meet someone who loves for the sake of loving, who could care less what it is you bring to the table, he's just happy you're at the table, this is your man. I should tell you that Colin wasn't born this way. Colin was a 25-weeker. He was 1 pound, 13 ounces, and I'm fond of saying I've had hamburgers bigger than Colin, obviously. Colin suffered a brain bleed at his third month of life in the neonatal intensive care unit, otherwise known as the dreaded NICU. And from that brain bleed came his cerebral palsy. So if he's going to eat, someone's going to put food in his mouth. If he's going to drink, someone's going to put a straw in his mouth. If he's going to be changed, it will take someone else to change him. And what I've learned from that experience is that we all have a role to play. Colin, who you would think would be absolutely mortified, strapped in a chair while watching other people have a good time at school, the worst punishment you could do to this young man is to not allow him to witness others enjoying their lives. He loves to encourage. He loves to see people having a great time. And that reminds me every day of my life, I got nothing to complain about. I'm blessed.
Sit. So Colin, what do you want others to take from your story?
To go out in the world, to pray to God, and help others, and
that sounds like an awesome thing. And I think all of us are trying to do that each and every day. So, and James, how about for you? What would your takeaway for folks here be?
My takeaway would be that everyone in this room has a God-given talent. Not everybody in this room recognizes that God-given talent. So I would encourage everyone to seek with the Lord's help, to discover with God's help, to groom, nurture, and utilize that talent for God's glory. We are His hands and His feet. When He wants to bless other people, it's us. We're the ones. We keep looking for someone. We may be that someone. And so I'd encourage everyone to find that gift, that talent, and utilize it for God's greater glory.
Awesome. Well, thank you very much. So what do we do with all these stories when each of us has a story to tell? We could be here all day. But you now have an opportunity to be recommissioned to use the gifts that God has given you. Maybe you've hit that point in your life where you're sort of stuck trying to figure out how God is shaping you and wiring you to make a difference, to make a change. And so today, I'm going to invite some people who are going to be here up at the front of the room. And if you are feeling the need to be prayed over to use your gifts to the best of your ability for God, and you just need that extra encouragement and affirmation from somebody in this church, you are welcome during this song to come forward. They'll pray with you. They'll ask you how they can pray for you, and this is a chance for you to make that connection. And this is an open invitation. Go as you feel led, and you have a spot up here. There are multiple folks up here ready to pray with you if you want to pray. If not, enjoy the song and be thinking about how you feel called to leave this place today.